All right, so we're going to read a few verses from Jeremiah 25 and starting with verse number 1. It says this, "The word that came to Jeremiah concerning all the people of Judah in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, which was the first year of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, which Jeremiah the prophet spoke to all the people of Judah and to all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, saying, from the 30th year of Josiah, the son of Amnon, king of Judah, even to this day, this is the 23rd year in which the word of the Lord has come to me, and I have spoken to you, rising early and speaking, but you have not listened. And the Lord has sent to you all his servants, the prophets, rising early and sending them, but you have not listened nor inclined your ear to hear. From all the outside appearances, the thing that God has just impressed on my heart is that we as people and as a society, we often have a very different view of success than what God has. God's definition of success is completely different than ours. What we see here is Jeremiah, and he is not alone in this regard. He has spoken and prophesied for 23 years, rising early, speaking the word that God gives him, very often unpopular, very often not what people want to hear. They actually threw him in an old well. They done all kinds of things to him that would seem unimaginable, but yet they did this to him. And he's not alone. Ezekiel was kind of along the same lines. God told him specifically, I'm going to send you to a people who aren't going to listen to you, but go anyway. And it occurs to me that God's definition of success is very different than ours. Ours is very results-oriented. When we think of somebody who's successful, when we think of somebody who has made it, so to speak, we always think of results, whether we're thinking of it or not. We're thinking of the bottom line. How many widgets did they make? How much was their profit? What did they do this quarter? What was their year-over-year results? Well, and how much did they accomplish based on their goals? We've all been there. Whether it's a mid-year review, an end-of-year review, it's always the same kind of thing. We have goals, and we're measured against our goals, and they're very clear. And if we make it, then it's very easy to see. And if we don't, then it's also very easy to see because we're very results-focused. How much did you do this year? What was your sales like this quarter? How much did you profit in the last 6 months? What is the trend? It's all results-based. Now we take that and we apply it to Jeremiah. Could you imagine Jeremiah going through a similar review? Well, Jeremiah, let's see what you've done this year. Well, how long you been with us, Jeremiah? 23 years? Well, it looks like you haven't even got one person. You haven't even convinced one person of your message. By our standards, Jeremiah would have been fired 20 years ago. But yet God has him going. God has him doing his bidding. By the world standard, Jeremiah was a complete failure. Not even one sale in 23 years. Not even one acceptance in 23 years. It's like 92 quarters. I got nothing to show for it. You're doing a great job, Jeremiah. You would never hear that in this day and age. You would never hear that, but yet God, in God's eyes, he is a success. Because God is not necessarily concerned about results only. Yes, there are results that he does want and does desire. There's no doubt about it, but This is not necessarily his view of success. Jeremiah is so successful that he made it into the Bible. He is one of the major prophets, if you like to categorize things the way things are categorized. Jeremiah is a major prophet. He's not, there are minor prophets, there are major prophets. Jeremiah is one of the major prophets, but yet he didn't see anybody buy his message, take his message, heed his message, not anyone in 23 years. Wow, and you think that you had it bad. You think that you have it bad at your job. He gets up and he goes through the same thing. What a chance for discouragement. And they do call him the weeping prophet. Maybe he was weeping for the people. Maybe he was weeping because, oh my, this is just so horrible. Who knows? But in God's eyes, it's not results focused, because results are very fickle. We could plan and we could do what we can to improve our chances of getting results. We could study, we could practice, we could practice our techniques, we could do all the things that we do in order to enhance and make our success more probable. But the Bible tells us that the results are in the hands of the Lord. The Bible tells us clearly that one plants and one waters, but it's God who gives the increase. It's not us. We can position ourselves and we can do what we can. We can do what we can to maximize the possibility of success, but it's God who gives increase. It's not man who, of his own accord, gives increase. The Bible also tells us that it is God who gives you the ability to get wealth. It is God that gives you the ability to be successful. It's all in God's hands. So then, what would be God's definition of success? What would be successful in God's eyes? Well, we go right back to the thing which so much of the Bible is just wrapped up in. We go back to the sayings of Jesus when he says these are the greatest things. These are the greatest things in all the law and all the prophets. They all hinge on these things. And he says, loving God, loving people. And then he says, making disciples. We could actually say doing what he wants us to do. These are the conditions for success, and they look very, very different than what God or what the world tells us to do. They're very different from the standard of the world. The world measures success by who's the richest man. The richest man just came out again this week. They had that announcement that now the man who owns Amazon is the richest man in the world. $91 billion worth of personal wealth, not a company wealth, personal wealth. But if he's not following God, if he's not loving God, following the great commandments, if his life is not given to Christ, it's not successful in God's eyes at all. In the world's eyes, very, very successful. In God's eyes, might not be successful at all if he doesn't know Christ. Because that is eternal life, to know Christ, to know God and the Son who he sent, Jesus. That is eternal life. So when you look at your circumstance, you might not be getting the results that you want. It might not be heading in the direction that you want. But if you're following God, if you're loving God, if you're loving those people around you, even those who might not be so nice to you, if you're loving God and loving people and you're trying to follow hard after God through all of the circumstances, regardless of what they are, you're successful in God's eyes. You are successful in God's eyes. You're successful in the books of heaven. You might not be successful in the eyes of the world, but you're successful in the eyes of heaven. And isn't this where we want to be successful? We want to be successful in God's eyes, in God's economy, in God's opinion, rather than the opinions of men. We want to follow after God regardless of the results, because the results are up to Him. We might have an expectation of results. We might have something in our mind, well, I should have been at this place by now. This should have worked out by now. This should have fallen into place, and we should be much further along. But if you're following after God and you're loving people throughout, if you're exhibiting the character of Christ, which would be following God and doing His work and doing and trusting in Him, you're a success, regardless of your results. Because the results are not always there, but regardless of results, we can still be successful. We can still be successful in God's eyes, because the great commandments tell us these are the most important things. And if we do those, then we are successful. Now, this doesn't mean that we shouldn't try as hard as we can. There's a saying that goes from John Wesley, and you could look it up, and he says, you know, we should do as much as we can, we should do as good as we can, as often as we can, to as many people as we can, as earnestly as we can. And I fully agree with that. We should be doing good. We should be trying. We should not give up. We should be people that take action in positive ways. But we cannot. We cannot be responsible always for the results. The results are often right in God's hands. So whose definition do we lean towards? Do we lean towards society's definition of success, or do we lean towards God's definition of success? Do we lean towards what society expects of us, or do we lean towards what God expects of us? Because if we lean towards society's, we might be disappointed in many cases. If we lean towards God's definition of success, this is dependent on how we act and how we react. And everyone could be successful if they just depend and lean hard on God. Society will change from year to year and decade to decade, culture from one generation to the next, but God's ways don't change. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Our society will change what its definition of success is, but God will not change. So what does it mean? That means in your situation, if somebody is doing something awful to you, if somebody is treating you and mistreating you, if you're able to forgive them, you're a success. If you're able to love people and love God, if you're going through a difficult time in your life and you're crying out to God, but you're not getting things your way, but yet you still believe and you still trust and you still look to Him and you're not wavering in your faith, then you're a success. If somebody is frustrating you and they're doing it over and over, or maybe even just once, and you could respond in patience, then you're a success. You're successful in that area. If somebody's cheating you and somebody is doing you wrong, and you could still pray for them, and you could still love them, and you could still forgive them, then you're a success in God's eyes. Regardless of what the world thinks. The world might think you're crazy. The world might think you're going to get nowhere. The world might think, well, and it might be true from the world's point of view, you might not get ahead. You might not get all the stuff that you want. You might not accumulate all the little toys that people want to accumulate. But in God's eyes, you'll be a success. In God's eyes, you'll be doing the right thing. In God's eyes. And that's what really matters. What really matters is, what does heaven think of us? Not what does man think of us. People are slandering you, and you could respond in mercy. Then that is a successful. It is a successful outcome. Your reputation might have smudges on it, But in God's eyes, your reputation has grown. In heaven's eyes, your reputation has increased. Because that is what matters. And we get into this place where we start comparing ourselves with others. Well, what about them? Well, what about this person? What about that person? They're not going through. They're not following God or His principles, but yet they're moving ahead. They're getting ahead by some standard. And the Bible tells us clearly, when we compare ourselves with ourselves and we measure ourselves against ourselves, we're not wise. That's actually what the Bible says. We're not wise. When we look to somebody else and say, this is what I want, or this is what I should have, and when we're measuring ourselves like, he's a little bit ahead of me and he's gone a little bit, but yet he did these things not in the most ethical way, the Bible says, that's not wise. Don't go there. Don't do that. If you do that, you're setting yourself up for wrong conclusions. Don't go there. You're not wise when you look around and say, this is my standard. Look to the Word of God and say, that's my standard. Jeremiah, no converts, so to speak, in 23 years. And I dare say, even if you look at the life of Jesus at the end of his life, he was questioned. They were looking for different results. They were looking for something completely different. They wanted a king. They wanted an earthly king. They wanted to overthrow Rome. And he had none of that. He says, I have a purpose and I'm going forward with my purpose regardless of who understands it. Heaven understands it. It's part of heaven's plan, so I'm going forward with it. And the people that seen him on the cross, they were like, couldn't he come down from there? Couldn't he do something about this? He raised the dead. He was able to do all these things. Can't he do these things? He looked like he was not even successful to the world. But we know his victory still has ramifications for us 2,000 years later. We get to enter into the place that was absolutely forbidden, the most holy place. We get to enter there with ease. Jesus' victory was amazing, was huge, but from the world's point of view, it looked like he was not successful at all. It looked like his mission had gone awry. And sometimes when we do things God's way, that's what it looks like. And there's so much potential, but yet it seems to be lost. Seems to not be used. And sometimes even our circumstances. You might find yourself in a place where you're kind of, the circumstances of life have put you in a place where you can't yield results. Maybe you're taking care of somebody who's sick or not well. Maybe you're caring for an elderly parent. Maybe you're doing something along those lines and you feel like, I can do nothing right now. And if you do it with love and you do it with the compassion of Christ and you do it God's way, you're a success. Regardless of your results. Regardless of, I haven't been able to do all these things. Have you ever been there? When there are sometimes, especially when you talk to an older saint, they'll almost in some cases sound like they're apologizing for not doing as much as they used to. Well, I used to be able to do so much more, but I'm slowed down a little bit in these last decade or whatever it is. And they seem like they're apologizing, but yet they can do so much. They could be a success right where they are because that's the brilliance of God's definition of success. It doesn't mean that you have to be young and you have to be full of energy and you have to be full of abilities. You could be a success in any place in your life. Any place, any condition of your life. Because it's all about loving God and loving people and being obedient to Him in whatever your state is, whatever your condition is. And that sounds just like God. Give the ability, not just to the strong, and not just those who have so many talents. Everybody has the ability to be successful, regardless of your age, regardless of your talent, regardless of your resources. You can be important to God wherever you are. Maybe you're not doing all the heavy lifting of the ministry anymore, but you can be a support to those who are. You can give an encouraging word. Have you ever been there where somebody, they would just call you and they say, you know, I was reading the Bible, whatever the case may be. I was reading the Bible and this verse jumped out at me and I knew it was for you. And you're calling me and telling me, they're like, oh, wow, this is wonderful. This is great. You know, just the right time. You ever had that experience? I've had that experience. It's a real encouragement when people can do that. Anyone could do that. Anyone could do that. You hear from God, you be obedient, you take a step of faith, and you bless someone. You pray for them. You spend that time that you used to maybe doing things for God. Now you spend it on your knees. Now you spend it calling out to God for His purposes to be realized here on this earth. That is successful. Doing what God wants you to do, whatever your season is, you can be a success. There are seasons where God sometimes emphasizes one, loving God, loving people, doing things for Him. There are seasons where God emphasizes one over the other. Sometimes you're at a place. I remember when we were pastoring in the city, that it was a very hectic time of life. So we're pastoring in the city. There are needs that are not like here in the suburbs. Very, very different. Very different. I mean, everybody's life was a mess in the city. You hear about it on the news. You know, there's 100 shootings this weekend. There's 50 shootings. We're in that kind of neighborhood. And so it's a mess. Everybody's life was a mess. Nobody had foundations. Family members, thank God many of us have that foundation in history of family members that grew up in the faith that allows us to not have the fundamental foundational issues of many people that were in the city. So anyway, we're in this place. And there's lots of work. And then we were doing other things in the house. And then my job was through the roof with so much work. So I had all these things going on. And then all of a sudden, God called us out of the city. The projects that we were doing at home finished and my work changed. So I went from going 100 miles an hour to 0 miles an hour all at once. And I felt weird. I felt weird because I was just wired to keep going. And I didn't know what it was like to have downtime. And then all of a sudden I had so much downtime I couldn't imagine it. And it felt strange. And I felt like I was doing something not right. And I felt like, well, why is God doing this to me? You know, I was doing so much for Him and now I can do nothing even if I wanted to. And there are seasons of your life when God emphasizes, okay, this is a time to do. And there are seasons in your life which say, now show me if you really do this for me. And so in that season when I had nothing to do, it was really just proving to me, do I love God for who He is, regardless of whether I could do anything for Him? It's just Him and me now. That was it. Do you love Him? Do I love Him? Even though I don't have anything to do for Him? And I believe he puts us through that every once in a while just to see, just to check our own hearts. Do you love God? God asks, do you love me just for who I am, regardless of whether you feel good about what you're doing? How is it when it's just you and God? And so He puts us through seasons where you might not have much to do, and then He puts us through seasons where you might have so much to do. And in each one of those seasons, you can be successful. Because if loving God and loving people and doing what He wants you to do is the definition of success, if you're loving God through every circumstance in your life, you're successful. Regardless
of your results. And the other thing that's really neat about this is that your past does not matter. Your past doesn't matter to this view of success. Sorry. Because you can make the decision today as to what you want to do. I'm going to love God regardless of my situation. I'm going to love God. I'm going to love people even if they're not unlovable. I'm going to love them anyway. I'm going to be obedient to God regardless. I'm going to show the character of Christ regardless. I'm going to do that, and I'm making that decision today. It doesn't matter about your past. You ask God to forgive you, your past is gone. It's wiped out. I'm going to make this decision from today, from this day forward. I'm going to be successful in God's eyes. Regardless of what people think of me, regardless of what they know about me, regardless of what my reputation was, from this day forward, I'm going to do things God's way. And he says, yes, from here forward, you're a success. I'm going to read one more set of verses to you. They're in 2 Timothy. This is Paul at the end of his life. He knows that he's almost about to be killed. It's 2 Timothy 4 and verse number 6. I'll start to read there, just a couple of verses. 2 Timothy 4, verse 6, it says, "For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. And finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearance." I think Paul's going through the same thing. He's saying, this is the definition of success. I fought hard. I finished the race. I did what God wanted me to do. And I've kept the faith. I still believe in God. I still trust God. I'm sitting here in a prison about to die, but I still trust God. I know that my faith is almost done. I know that my time here is done, and he knows he's not going to be released. There's no acquittal coming. There's no appeals process. He's going to die. And he says, I'm keeping the faith. That is successful. He's not doing much. He's in prison. He's in prison. He's not the flamboyant, sail around the world, starting churches everywhere, Paul, that is earlier in his life. The results are not like what they used to be. But he's saying, hey, I've done what God wants me to do. I'm in a season where I am just in this place. I can't move. I know that this is going to be my end, but I'm not giving up. I'm still trusting God. I'm still keeping the faith. Even though I might get killed for it, I'm keeping the faith. I'm not going to waver. I'm going to finish my course right where I'm at, right in the circumstances that I'm in. And we might have circumstances which look like they're not so good to us. And Paul says, I'm going to keep the faith. I'm going to still be successful in God's eyes, regardless of what the world thinks. The world might think, well, he's a failure. The world might think, well, he got what he deserved. I'm sure there were people in his life that were not too happy with Paul. He even talks about some of them. I'm sure they're thinking, well, he got what he deserved. Where's his God now? And Paul says, I don't care about all that. I'm going to keep the faith. I'm going to maintain. I'm going to maintain my faith, and I'm going to finish my course. And to that, we say he is successful. And we all just have to make our decision. Will we, regardless of results? Those are up to God. We can pray for results, and we do. We want results. But that's in God's hands. For us, our job is to love him to love those around us, and to be obedient to Him. Finish the course. Finish the race. Fight the good fight. And keep our faith. And then in heaven's eyes, we will be a success. God's name be praised.